Praise the Lord. Thank you all, and welcome once again to our Sunday worship service. It's January 31, 2021, and we look back. God took care of us for this whole month of 2021, right? So as we sang today morning, our Redeemer lives. Whatever our problems are, He soars above our problems. That's why we are safe, and we are here today morning time. We came together to His presence to worship. We know that we are not coming to a church as a fellowship, but we are all in our homes sitting together. So what does this show? Wherever we are, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Even when you are in your home alone with your family, wherever you are in different parts of the world, whoever are here, we know that it is the presence of the Holy Spirit that is leading us today morning. And let's thank God for all the provisions that He has given us through these technologies, that at these times also, that God is a good God. He has provided all these things so that the children of God, we are all united wherever we are, and we could come together. And as we are in this platform, I'm sure that we are getting the words which is encouraging us each day to move forward. Personally, for me, I think that for last week, if we look back, many families which we personally know and which we do not know, many are going through pain, especially for the past 1 week, if you look back. But since God has a purpose for each one of you and me, He has given us that peace. The peace that the world cannot give. As we look to our present situation, it is an unstable world where we are living. The governments don't know. As I always tell these days, I remember, I think in November or October, Saji Pastor told one statement. Each day we think that tomorrow is going to be getting better. But even after almost 1 year, we have got the stay-at-home order. We didn't expect this. We thought at least by January, February, we will be out. But again, stay-at-home order is there. So what does this show? This shows that there is no stable government here, that everything is unstable. We don't know what is kept for us for today evening. We don't know what is kept for us tomorrow morning. We are always awaiting news, which we don't like every week. We didn't expect a news stay-at-home order, which was issued a few days back. So, child of God, but there is one king, a stable kingdom, and that is what we are all waiting for. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the unchanging God. He doesn't change. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, it says, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home which is yet to come. So what should we do? We should live by Christ. Let us offer the sacrifices of praises to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him. As today morning, I was reading a verse which the Holy Spirit gave me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Children of God, as Christians, as a child of God, we have a safe tower where we can run to safety whenever we need. This morning time, we are here to worship Him. We are here to give thanksgiving to Him. That's only He is asking of us. You know, in many churches, we can see signboards where they have written on the outside, enter to worship. Enter to worship. And when you get out of the gate, you will see on the backside of that signboard, go out to serve. In some places, I have seen enter into His gates with thanksgiving and the entrance of the church signboards. And when you go out, you can see the signboard, be ye fishers of men. So now today morning, we have entered into His presence to give the thanksgiving, the full 100% thanksgiving from our heart, to praise Him, to worship Him. And that's why we are here today morning. The presence of God is here, encouraging us. He is filling us each day of our life. And let's look to Him. If you look to the world, Everyone are affected. The kings, the rich, the poor, everyone are affected. But child of God, when you go through any troubles in your situation, maybe it might be your sickness, maybe it might be your failures, maybe it might be different troubles that you're facing. But remember one thing, it is the fuel that helps you to move forward. Troubles and persecutions and sickness, anything that comes in our life, it is not to break us. But one thing we have to know, these troubles which we are going through, these lockdowns which we are going through, this pandemic which we are going through, according to God's will, He is perfecting us, He is molding us, He is shaping us to the way which we want, to the way which He wants, and not according to our will. So this morning time, let us submit ourselves to God as we go through, as we together meditate on the word of God. For today's message, let's open our Bible to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. By this time, I know that I have almost said every time, whenever I say the message, I say a detail about Psalms. So I know by this time, hope everybody has got a background of Psalms and the authors of Psalm. So this Psalms 40 was written by King David. Okay, it was written by King David. As I always say, when we meditate through Psalms or through any chapters of the book, any verses of the book, always we have to study in depth the history, everything behind it. So Psalms 40 was written by none other than the great king, King David. King David has written almost 75 Psalms. Psalms, there are 150 chapters in Psalms, and it's divided into five divisions, we know. So this particular chapter, chapter 40, lies in the first division, that is chapters 1 to chapter 41. And saying about the Psalms, you know, there is a lot of Psalms called the Messianic Psalms, or which is related to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are around 14 chapters of the Psalms, which is we can call also the Messianic Psalms. They are chapters 2, 8, 16, 34. The list goes on till 118. So this particular chapter also falls in the Messianic Psalms. So what does Messianic Psalms mean? It involves the prophecies involving Christ's sufferings. Maybe it might be related to the author, but it also prophesies of Jesus Christ. It might be related to Christ's sufferings. It might be related to Christ's provisions in our life. So through this, we can know that a lot of these comes in a prophetic subject also of these Messianic Psalms. So this particular chapter 40 also falls in the Messianic Psalms, chapter 40. I'm not going to all the details of chapter 40, but only three words which struck me when I was reading chapter 40 some days back. But in a nutshell, if you see Psalms 40, we can divide it into two. The first one is, it is from a present situation. David is writing it from a present situation. If you look to Psalm 40 verses 1 to 3, it is a merciful rescue by God. And verses 4 to 5, it is the multiple resources of God. And verses 6 to 10, it gives motivational responses to God. So this is from a present situation that David writes this Psalms. Now, what is the history behind it? The history behind it, we all know who is Absalom. Absalom was the third son of King David. And he wanted to become the king. So he revolted. He turned against his own father for the throne. And I'm not going to the history of that one. There was a big problem between David and between Absalom. But finally, Absalom was killed. And David returned back to the throne. And from the throne, he is writing these Psalms. If you read Psalms 1 to 4, it is clearly written there. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. So from the throne, David is writing this Psalms. And the second part, it is prayer for a present situation from verses 11 to 17. If you read that, It is a present situation even for us. As you read in the last verse 17, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord think upon me, my help and my deliverer, make no tarry. Lord, help us. So this is a present situation that we are praying. So here we see that David is saying from a present situation and also prayers for a present situation. So how can we link this to the Messianic Psalm? So David is sitting on a throne which he got back, and he is writing these Psalms. In the same way, Jesus Christ, devil thought, Satan thought that he is defeated. But our King of Lords, our Jesus Christ, is going to come back on the throne. And if you go down more from verses 6 to 10, it is clearly of the Messianic Psalms. It's written there. So later on, when you go back, you can read verses 6 to 10 is what we say, we can see about how it is compared to Jesus Christ. He was crucified. He was in the pit. He was in the merry clay. But God delivered him. That's a part or a background of Psalms 40. Now let me go to today's message. I know the time is running. Today's message is just three words which are very simple, which we can read in Psalms 40. It's from verse 7. It's written there. Then I said, here I am. I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So you see, this is a messianic psalm because everything is written in of Jesus Christ in the book. That's why it is written in the volume of the book, it is written of me. So these are the verses which we can prove that it is written of Jesus Christ. But the three verses which struck me or the Holy Spirit gave me is verse 7. Here I am. Here I am, I come. In different versions, we see that, behold, I come. But in my version, when I read, it is here I am or here am I. So I was just struck, you know, when you read the Bible, when you're meditating on a Bible, if you come across some verses which you get struck or you have a second thought, think that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And if you meditate on that, you will get the message in that one. That is how we have to meditate on the word of God. So here I am. These three words, here I am or here am I, has changed at many times the history of the world. It has changed the history of mankind. So I was just, when I was reading, here am I or here I am. So here am I. Just you read it backwards, it is written, I am here. Okay, so why they are not saying I am here and here am I? What is the difference between here am I and I am here? Okay, I am here means if suppose we are all friends or you come, I tell you, okay, come to this Bramley City Center. And then I will call somebody and say, okay, where are you? You will tell, I am here. Okay, that is you are in a particular location. You are telling, I am here or I am waiting here. That is a simple language we are telling that I am here. Okay. And what do you mean by here am I? Here am I is a greater elevation of I am here. It means it is a term of an obedient servant ready for a service. Okay, that is the difference between I am here and here am I. In the Bible, you will see many places where the servants of God are saying, here am I. That means they are ready for a service. Okay, they are ready. They are an obedient term which is given for an obedient servant who is ready for a service. This part of the message which I am sharing with you today is a part of the series which I am teaching in my Sunday school class. For my kids, it might be a little revision and also for the days to come what they are going to learn. Okay, let me go fast. In the last sermon, I told that we belong to God through four ways. One was through creation, through relationship, through redemption, through submission, and we belong to God for an eternity, right? Sometimes we may have forgotten it, no problem. Every day we get verses. You know, I was just hearing somebody reading a portion. So one person, he was hearing the message and he thought, oh, I'm hearing this message. You know, even I don't remember what I heard 1 week back. I don't remember what I was told 1 year back. And he stood up and told that. So there was one wise man. He just stood up and asked him, "Do you know what food you ate last Sunday morning?" "No, I don't remember." "Do you remember what food you ate last year of this day?" He was totally blank. "I don't know." "But the food that you got, that was just pushing you forward. That is moving you forward. So each day, if you forgot last week's message, it's okay. But I'm sure that whatever messages we are getting, it's pushing you forward. Maybe for that day, maybe for that week, it's pushing us forward. We are getting the vital energy from that. So, but in that time I told, God wanted a relationship with us. And that relationship was lost, right? In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. God came down and asked one question, "Where art thou?" So he needed a simple answer. "I am here." He was not asking for a big task or anything. He just wanted to know the location where they are. "I am here." But what did he do? They were hiding. Okay, they were hiding. And the relationship got lost. So this morning time also, God wanted to establish back that relationship. And that is what we see from the book of Genesis onward till Revelation, till the New Testament. We can see how this relationship is getting restored back. So God expected from Adam, "I am here." But then that was gone. And now God is in the process of bringing that relationship back. And for this, bringing that relationship back, he had to choose servants. He had to choose people, weak, young. He had to choose many until the relationship was tied up back. And may I go through some people? There was, if you look into the Bible, 6 persons are there whom I said directly to God, "Here am I, ready for the service." One was, I'm not going to detail of every 6, but I will just go through their names. One was Abraham. Abraham had to go through many difficulties in his life. But if you see in chapter 22, verses 1, Abraham and God were very friends. But in chapter 22, verse 1, it reads, "And it came to pass after these things that God wanted to test Abraham." So a testing time came in the life of Abraham. And you know, what did he reply? He replied back, "Here I am, here am I." This is what God expects from his mighty soldier. He is expecting that one. And because Abraham had gone through a lot of problems in his life, and he was seeing from chapter 12 onwards how God is saving him in each moment of his life. So he knew that there is a living God. And that's why he's saying that he is ready for any service. God is not asking him for his location. It's not like a simple "I am here," but he is asking for a greater mission to be accomplished through the life of his friend Abraham. And you know what? He was told to do the mission. He was told to take his only son to go to Moriah, in the place of Moriah, and to sacrifice him on a mountain there. And they both, Abraham, we see that he doesn't say anything. He's just ready to go. He is saying, "Here am I." And he's going. And another thing, when he was going up with Isaac is asking, "Dad, father, everything is there, but where is the lamp?" And he is telling, you know, when he asked father, when if you read that portions in verse 7, Isaac is asking, "Father," and you know what Abraham replied? "Here am I." To his son, he's telling, "Here am I." What is that service? So that means he, you know, the pain that he was going through, he thought that it might be the last wish of his son. But he believed in a God. But he told to Isaac, "Here am I," because of his love towards his only son. He is ready for any service for his son, because he is going to lose his son. In some moments, he's going to lose his only son. So he's ready for service. He's telling to Isaac, "Here am I." And Isaac's asking, "Where is the lamb?" And you know what Abraham told? "The God will provide." Abraham knew the wisdom of God. Abraham knew the knowledge of God. Abraham knew the love of God. And he is saying all this because of his love to God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 19, we read, by faith, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What do you mean by begotten son? Begotten son means the only son of his legitimate wife, the only son of his promise, and the son of the heir of his property. So, and when we read it, it is accounting that God was able to rise up even from the dead. You know what all happened after that till the angel is calling upon him, Abraham, Abraham. He took up the knife and he wanted to slay Isaac. There is a lot of things to say from there, but I'm just moving on. But one thing, when he took up the knife, the angel of the God called from above, Abraham, Abraham, and he's telling again, here am I. The third time he's telling, here am I. What is your order? I'm here to obey. And he's telling, do not touch your only son. And we know what happened. What happened, we know. You know why all this happened? Because Abraham knew God in the way he wanted to know. My dear children, I want to say one thing to you today. The world around you, when you look to the world around you, when you look to the situations around you, when you look to other people, you may get dismayed. When you see that, oh, others have got this, I have not got this one. Others have passed in so-and-so, I have not done. When others have gone through difficulty, others are going through a comfort life, maybe I don't have which so-and-so other kids have. But as a child of God, today morning, if you look up to your Savior, you will know that you have a better place, you have a better Savior, you have a better friend. And that is what Christian life has to move forward. Do not look up to nobody, even your Sunday school headmaster, even to anybody. It's up to God whom you have to look. Maybe you don't know the tensions which each people are going through. You have to look up to God and only God. Then only you can lead a Christian life. And you know why Abraham did this? Through his faith, he got a vision that almost after 2,000 years, in a mountain not far away, a only begotten son will be crucified for you and me. And that was none other than our Jesus Christ. I am sure that Abraham got that was in that. That's what in Hebrews it says, our forefathers saw it from afar. But we are enjoying it. We are experiencing the presence of Christ. Let me stop with Abraham. When Abraham says this, if we ask Abraham, what happened you to move forward, he will say, I made a sacrifice which I thought I never could make it. I made a sacrifice which I thought I never could make it. Why? Because he looked up to God. Here am I. Let me go to the second person. It's Jacob. I'm not standing there for a long time. But Jacob says two times in Here I Am. One was when he was running away from Laban. And another one was when he was going to Egypt. But God said to him, Jacob, Jacob. And two times he's telling, here am I. And God told him, do not be afraid. When you are running from Laban, do not be afraid. When you are going to Egypt to meet his son Joseph, he's telling him, do not be afraid. Child of God, when you are ready to say to God, here am I. I want to tell you today morning, if you are going through any fear in your life, you have to know that God is with you. He is telling, fear not. If he asks Jacob, how did you move forward? He will say that I faced a fear which I thought that I would never face. If you asked Abraham, I made a sacrifice which I thought I would never make. If you ask Jacob, he will say, I faced a fear that I thought I could never face. We know of the next person, Moses. Moses was going, he saw a burning bush. When he reached there, God is calling to him, Moses, Moses. And his answer was, here am I. And that here am I, even though it didn't happen quickly, that answer was the exodus of Jewish people from Egypt. And to say about Moses, there are a lot of things. Moses, he said, he was so excited when he heard that God is going to deliver his people. But his excitement went down. You know, when God told him that you are the elected person to lead. And what are the excuses he's saying? He's telling, people will ask, who am I? God gives us some promises there. Then he cited ignorance. Maybe people will say, who is your God? And God is telling to him, you should say, I am the one, who am I? Then he's telling, where is the credentials? How will you know that you met God? God gave him some miracles to show there. And lastly, he's saying, the last one he took, I'm not good with words, but God provided him. Child of God, God can change us. God can change our circumstances. God can demonstrate our power in our weakness, his power in our weakness. And he can send others who can partner with us in our assignment. If you ask Moses, he will say, I saw many miracles which I thought I never would have seen. Why? Because he submitted, here am I. If you ask Abraham, he will say, I offered a sacrifice which I thought I would never make. If you ask Jacob, he will say, I faced a fear that thought I could never face. If you ask Moses, he will say, I saw a lot of miracles which I thought that I would not see. Let me go fast to Samuel, which is very, very, very adaptable or very much prevalent to all your young kids here. Samuel, we know that he grew up in a time when people were not observing the words of God. He grew up at that time. That is why, when God needed the ministry of Samuel, God called him, Samuel, Samuel, at his young age. And he is replying back, here I am, here I am. Children of God, don't think that it is an old Abraham who will get the call. Don't think that it is a Jacob who will get the call. Don't think that it's an 80-year Samuel, Moses who will get a call. But an young Samuel also got a call. So today you will also get a call from God. You have to be ready for that every time. If we stay on to Samuel, there is a lot of things to say. But Samuel anointed the first king of Israel. He anointed the greatest king of Israel, David. And if you ask Samuel, what did you get? He will say, I heard a message which I thought that I would never hear. So submit yourself to God. If you ask Abraham, I am repeating this, when he said, here I am, he said, I offered a sacrifice which I thought I could never make. Jacob said, I faced a fear that I could never face. Moses said, I saw many miracles which I thought that I could never see. And Samuel said, I heard a message which I thought I could never hear. Before going to the New Testament and ending my sermon here, let me refer to you to one person in the book Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, we see there, when Isaiah saw God, he is telling, and God, when he hears God's voice, God is asking him, whom shall I send? He is telling, here am I. You know what happened? He saw the majesty of God. He didn't look around. He looked up to God. He saw the majesty of God. He saw that God was in control. Even when the whole world is spinning out of your control, God is in control. That is what, as a Christian, we need. Don't look up to your friends. Don't look up to your neighbors. Don't look to anybody. Even when you are grown up, after 12, 15 years, you don't even have to look anywhere. You have to look up to God. God and only God for all your resources. Isaiah saw the fullness of God. He saw the holiness of God. You know, when we read in the book of Isaiah, we read holy, holy, holy. So I was just researched why this is written holy, holy, holy. You know, according to Israel traditions, if you say a word three times, like if you say, for example, if you say this is a big stone, that means it is like a stone which you can take by your hands, okay? If you say big, big stone, then it is like a bigger, more stone, which might have a little more heavy or something. If you say three times, if they say big, big, big stone, it is a giant boulder, which nobody can take. That is why, to explain clearly to the people, in Isaiah it is written, holy, holy, holy. So that means the attribute of God. There are many attributes of God, truth, love. But the attribute of God, the highest attribute of God is holy, holy, holy. And that is what, in that holiness, everything is there. Truth is there. Love is there. Peace is there. Joy is there. Everything is there. But God needs the holiness from each one of us. We need to be holy. And that is what Isaiah says. So if you ask Isaiah, what happened when you said, here am I? And he will say, I have gone to places which I thought I never would have gone. So let me rewind to the Old Testament. When if you ask Abraham, he will say, I made a sacrifice which I thought I would never make. If you ask to Jacob, he will say, I faced a fear that I thought I would never face. If you ask to Moses, he will say, I saw many miracles which I thought that I would never see. If you ask to Samuel, he says, I heard a message which I thought that I could never hear. If you ask to Isaiah, he will say that I saw places, I had to go to places which I thought that I would never go. If you fast forward to New Testament, between New Testament and Isaiah, we see many people who followed these examples of these living testimonies. They saw the sacrifice. They saw the miracles and they moved on. When we come to the, why we are saying all this? Because the relationship was lost and God wanted to bring back that relationship. And if you see in the book of Matthew, there is a lady in Bethlehem, she is praying and the angel of the Lord comes to her and saying, greeting her. And you know what Mary said? Behold thy maidservant. Now here is a submission coming. Here is a surrender of life coming. And we know what happened. And if she trusted that promise, if you ask Mary, she will say, I trusted a promise that I thought that I will never be the chosen one. And we know that Jesus Christ came into this world. He built up a relationship with mankind. We know how he was crucified to bring that relationship back. He wanted us back to his kingdom, which was lost. And as we read on, we can see, because Jesus Christ died for us, we can see that disciples rose for Christ. Many martyrs came. In the book of Acts, we can see disciples rising in thousands, 3,000, 4,000. Christianity began to grow. The relationship was to Christ was returned. And then we see a man called Ananias. He was praying. And when God appeared to him, he's calling Ananias. Ananias, he's saying, here I am. And he submitted. And because of his submission, a man called Saul came to Christ. He prayed. And we know that around the book, we can see that God, how God used Saul. And he became Paul. And he gave us 14 books, which moves us in our Christian life. Before ending, let me say, Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 is telling, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Before leaving, let me give you some challenges. Don't delay answering God's call in your life. Because in Hebrews 3:15, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Second, don't underestimate your call. You have the power. And the third, you have to know his voice and you have to know his will. That's why in Psalms 40, it says, lead me according to thy will, for thy law is in my heart. And in Isaiah 43, it says, but now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. And when we are in Christ, if Abraham could do a sacrifice, if Jacob faced a fear, if Moses saw miracles, if Samuel heard a message, if Isaiah went to places that he could not go, if Mary had a promise which she trusted. And if Ananias served a person which he thought, he never thought that he would serve a person called Saul. Child of God, this morning time, you know what God has given us? If we are in him, we can say that I have found a joy through Jesus Christ. So whatever our forefathers went through, they went through all this because we need to have that joy in Jesus Christ. And today in Isaiah 58:9, God is calling you. God is calling each one of us by our name. It says, then shall thou call and the Lord shall answer. Thou shall cry and he shall say, here I am. Now who is saying here I am? Jesus Christ is saying to you and me, here I am. So once you submitted to God, here I am. Here in Isaiah 58:9, the prophecy is saying, thou shalt call God's name and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry and he shall say to you now. Now God is waiting for you and me, ready to do whatever you ask him according to his will. He is telling, here am I, my son. Here am I for you. And if you go back to Psalms 40, again, we read there in verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Sin offering hast thou not required. But he requires only one thing. He needs from you and me a heart of surrender, saying, here am I. And if we say that, if we believe in that, if we believe in Christ, he is going to say that, my son, here am I for you.